In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today for our homily in this year's preparatory novena for the Feast of St. Joseph, we will look at the crucifix and the stations. All through these homilies in this preparatory novena for the feast, it has been emphasized that the cruciform shape has developed into the basis of church construction, even when starting from such primordial shapes as the circle and the square, to represent heaven, as we read in Proverbs chapter 8, or earth in the book of the Apocalypse chapter 21. Such a development is apt, since it shows us that at multiple levels, our redemption comes through the cross. Today, let us focus on the cross and the crucifix, as well as the way of the cross. A crucifix, from the Latin crucifixus, meaning one fixed to a cross, is a cross with an image of Jesus on it, distinct from a bare cross. The representation of Jesus himself on the cross is referred to in English as the corpus, which is Latin for body. The crucifix is a principal symbol in the Roman Rite and one of the most common forms of the crucifixion in the arts. It emphasizes Jesus' sacrifice, his death by crucifixion, which brought about the redemption of humankind. It is a perfect fulfillment of that inferred by the serpent created by Moses in Numbers chapter 21. Large crucifixes high across the central axis of a church are known by the old English term rood. By the late Middle Ages, these were a near universal feature of Western churches. In the instructions for the celebration of Mass, we read, there is also to be a cross with the figure of Christ crucified upon it, either on the altar or near it, where it is clearly visible to the assembled congregation. It is appropriate that such a cross, which calls to mind for the faithful the saving passion of the Lord, remain near the altar or even outside of liturgical celebration. For this reason, the crucifix is located on, next to, immediately behind, or suspended above the altar. It is visibly related to the altar as viewed by the people. The liturgical crucifix is not primarily for the private devotion of the celebrant, but is a sign in the midst of the Eucharistic assembly, proclaiming that the Mass is the same sacrifice as Calvary. In the early church, many Christians hung a cross on the eastern wall of their house in order to indicate the eastward direction of prayer. Prayer in front of a crucifix, which is a sacramental, is often part of devotion for Christians, especially those worshipping in a church, even privately. During the Middle Ages, small crucifixes, generally hung on a wall, became normal in the personal cells or living quarters, first of monks, then all clergy, followed by homes of the laity, starting from the top of society downwards. Most towns had a large crucifix erected as a monument or some other shrine at the crossroads of the town. Catholics generally used the crucifix in public religious services in line with the teaching of St. Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles in the first epistle to the Corinthians. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Closely related to the cross, from which we have received our redemption, the stations, or the way of the cross, sometimes called the Via Crucis, refers to a series of images depicting Christ on the day of his crucifixion and accompanying prayers. The stations grew out of imitations of the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem, which is a traditional processional route symbolizing the actual path Jesus walked to Mount Calvary. The objective of the stations is to help the Christian faithful make a spiritual pilgrimage through contemplation of the Passion of Christ. Commonly, a series of 14 images are arranged in numbered order along a path or around the church, along with worshippers individually or in a procession can move in order, stopping at each station to say prayers and engage in reflections associated with that station. Just like today, these devotions are most common during Lent, especially on Good Friday, and allow us to reflect on our position given the sufferings that God Himself endured for us in His humanity. They are prayed in a spirit of reparation for the sufferings and insults that Jesus endured during His Passion. As a physical devotion involving standing, kneeling, and genuflections, the stations of the cross are tied with the repentance and mortification of the flesh. Following the siege of 1187, Jerusalem fell to the forces of Saladin, the first Sultan of Egypt and Syria. 40 years later, members of the Franciscan religious order were allowed back into the Holy Land. Their founder, Saint Francis of Assisi, had a particular devotion to the Passion of Christ and is the first person to receive the stigmata. In 1217, Saint Francis founded the custody of the Holy Land to guard and promote the devotion to Christian holy places. The Franciscans' efforts were recognized when Pope Clement VI officially proclaimed them the custodians of the holy places in 1342, a responsibility that they still largely carry to this day. Although several travelers who visited the Holy Land during the 12th to 14th centuries mention a via sacra, that is, a settled route that pilgrims followed, there is nothing in the accounts to identify this with the way of the cross as we know it today. The earliest use of the word stations, as applied to the accustomed halting places along the via sacra at Jerusalem, occurs in the narrative of an English pilgrim, William Way, who visited the Holy Land in the mid-15th century and described pilgrims following the footsteps of Christ to Golgotha. In 1521, a book called Geistliche Straße, which is German for spiritual road, was printed with illustrations of the stations in the Holy Land. During the 15th and 16th centuries, the Franciscans began to build a series of outdoor shrines in Europe, modeled on those in the Holy Land. The number of stations at these shrines varied between 7 and 30, although 7 was quite common. These were usually placed often in small buildings, along the approach to a church, as in a set of 1490, by Adam Kraft, leading to the Johanneskirche in Nuremberg. A number of rural examples were established as attractions in their own right, usually on attractive wooden hills. These include the Sacromonte di Domodossola and the Sacromonte di Belmonte, and form part of the Sacri Monti of Piedmont and Lombardy. The sculptures at these sites are very elaborate and often nearly life-size. The remnants of these sites are often referred to as Calvary Hills. In answer to their petition, in 1686, Pope Innocent XI granted to the Franciscans the right, the exclusive right, to erect stations within their churches. In 1731, Pope Clement XII extended this to all churches, provided that a Franciscan father erected them, with the consent of the local bishop. The same Pope, Clement XII, also fixed the number of stations at 14. In 1857, the bishops of England were allowed to erect stations by themselves without the intervention of a Franciscan priest. And in 1862, this right was extended to bishops throughout the church. Therefore, dear faithful, From the narthex to the apse and across by the transept, the cross is a central figure for the design of every church. It is by the cross that we receive our redemption. Every day we are reminded to follow our Lord, carrying our own crosses, walking with him in the way of the cross, and by daily making our efforts to turn to God as we move up higher to the head of the church. Every time we come to church, we come to the source of all the help that we need, the source of light and grace, of peace and consolation, of strength and power. In our Lord, there is nothing lacking for our way to heaven. At the communion rail, we receive his body for food for this journey, to be with Jesus for all eternity. The cross is the means by which heaven and earth can meet. Our cross is also the means by which we can go to heaven. In Holy Communion, we receive the light and strength to undertake this journey, to realize the miracle of our own sanctification. Terrible indeed is this place where sins are destroyed and evil is banished. Truly, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. Our Lady, help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, protector of Holy Church, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.